Good morning, brothers and sisters. I am so happy to be here. And after watching that video, I was so touched. And my tears almost coming out. And I saw Peter, actually, he's got a little wet eye there, too. I was so touched by everybody's involvement. Everybody just giving their time and energy. And I was really touched when I was watching the video. Yeah. First, I'm grateful to be here that Pastor Sam gave me the opportunity here to share the message today. And I benefit from it when I'm doing the study. Today, the title that I want to share is The Way of Life. Now, let me start by asking you a question. If God want to grant you a wish today, what would you ask for? Can somebody tell me? Anyone? Would it? Yeah. Oh, your dad gonna be Christian, believe in God? Great, that's a good answer. Anyone else? Well, some of you might ask for money, or some of you might ask for an iPhone 10, right? And some of you might ask for a car, a new car, or a house. And for some of us, we might want to ask for a good health, right? But what did King Solomon ask for? Does anybody know? Right, very good. He asked for wisdom. And for why? Why did he ask for wisdom? Do you know? So that he can become a good ruler for God. Because at that time, when King David passed away, and he was the successor, he took the position as the king of Israel. So God gave him the wisdom so he can rule over God's nation. And that's why today we're going to look at the book of Proverbs. And do you know who wrote the book of Proverbs? Solomon. He was the wisest man at that time, because God made him the wisest king ever. Now, the word Proverbs means to wisdom. So if you have a Bible, turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 6, and we will read the passage together. Now, if you have even a phone, you have a Bible app, you know, I'm very open-minded, so, you know, just get to it so it's save time. And then once we find Proverbs chapter 6, we'll read from verse 20 to 23. Okay, let's read together. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. And for these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. And the corrections of discipline are the way of life. Now, the reason I picked this title, The Way of Life, is because wisdom is very important for a Christian to grow for us. So in order to seek wisdom, it's through our obedience to God and our obedience to our parents. And through that, we can learn to be a better children of God. So we know how to walk in God's word. So in order to walk in God's word, to be a better Christian, we must first obey God and obey our parents. And that's the way of life. So let's look at the first verse 20, what it says. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Now, first of all, when a baby was born, he is totally incapable of taking care of himself. He relies solely on the parents' help to take care of him until they're full grown. And during those long years, the mother and father spent tirelessly working hard to try to feed them. So when they grow up, shouldn't we honor them, the parents, right? So we should, in return, we should respect them, respect the parents. In Chinese, there's a saying, it's called filial piety. In Chinese, it's haosun fu mo. I'm sure you heard about it. It means obedience to our parents, to respect them. In Proverbs 1, 7 and 8, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but wisdom despises wisdom and instruction. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Now, what this verse means is to fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we want to seek wisdom from God, we must first obey him. And the second verse, it says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction and forsake your and do not forsake your mother's teaching. It's we must also obey our parents' teaching. In Deuteronomy, it says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is given you. Now, this verse promised that you will live long. It's a blessing from God that you respect and honor your father and mother. Another reason why we should obey our parents is because they have more experience than us, right? So a lot of times they went through life more, they've been around longer, you know, they have more experience. So they know what is bad. And we might not know what is right and wrong, but they knew already because they went through it. So there's a saying, they say, why a wise man learn from his experience. And do you know the second verse? A wiser man learn from others' experience. So a lot of people believe in hands-on experience is the best way to learn. But sometimes you have to pay the price because it costs you. It costs your time. It costs your energy. If you made a mistake, it costs you time to correct and to heal from brokenness. So a wise man learn from your experience. That's right. But an even wiser man learn from others' experience. What does others' experience mean is when somebody already failed, made a mistake, and they come back and they become wise, they'll tell you what to do. And you just listen to them. Listen to their advice. Listen to them what to do. That's what your parents are here for. He is giving you advice what to do, what to do is right, how to walk in the Word of God. And same thing, the Bible, God's Word, teaches us to follow what God wants us to do. So live a life pleasing in God's sight so that we will be blessed. So the first thing is for us to live a way of life of a Christian is to obey our parents, to obey God's commands. Now, I remember when I was 10 years old, I was living in Hong Kong. There was a big mountain right opposite from my house, and I always looked out. It was beautiful. You know, Hong Kong is a lot of high-rises, but where I lived was nice. Back in the old days, it was a big, huge mountain across way up Hong. And there were times that I went over there with some kids, and we climbed around trying to catch the insects, the grasshopper, all that stuff, and it was fun. But then my dad kept telling me, hey, don't you ever go back there because it was so dangerous. It was a high cliff. It was like at least 100, 200 feet tall, high. And one day I looked out the window. I saw a bunch of people down on the bottom of the cliff. I said, wow, what happened? I looked through it. And there were firefighters. Everybody's there. There were one kid. They were climbing up the cliff, and he fell off the cliff and died. It was so sad, and I right away I was shocked, and I thought about what my dad kept telling me for. He told me, don't you ever go there, it's dangerous. And then I realized it's a good thing that I listened to my dad. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here today to share with you this message. Now, in Proverbs Today's the verse we're looking at is verse 20 through 23. But before that, it was verse 16. What it said was, these are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him, a haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked scheme, feet that are quick to rush into evil, and false witness who pours out lies, and people who stirs up conflict in the community. And then it says, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For this command is a lamp, the teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. Now, we're going to look at these words and find out. And I already sent out the discussion paper, and the answer will be on my sermon. So I will do it very, very clear here. I will explain. Now, if we look at the first verse, keep your father's command and do not neglect your mother's teaching. It means obey them. Obey means, in definition, is obedience through action. It's not just by words. I don't know how many times you have answered your parents, but you didn't do something. It happens, right? Yeah, for me, many times when I was a kid, you know, my dad told me, hey, don't forget to bring the garbage out. And I told him, yes. The next day, I forgot. My mom told me to do the dishes. I said, sure, I'll do it before I go to bed. But I forgot it. The next morning, it's still there. So there was a lot of time we promised our parents to do something. We didn't do it. So we become a liar. So in that case, we must obey them. And there are times that I disagree with my parents, you know, and we argue. But, you know, at the end, I found out that what they said was good, was true. And so that's why we should obey our parents. And bind them continually on your heart. And tie them around your neck. What does that mean? Now, back in the old days, God instructed the Israelites to bind his law to their forehead and put them on their hands. So they will constantly be reminded how to walk their life to be pleasing in God's sight. So they will not sin against God. And same thing, you know, we have to constantly remind ourselves so we won't sin against God. Another reason is that if a Christian, you want to grow spiritually, we need to constantly have God's word in our mind. Because now let's say you're physically, your body needs food to nourish your body, to grow, right? You need nutrients, but same thing, your spiritual life needs nutrients, nourishment. The nourishment is the spiritual food, is the Bible, the word of God. That's how it sustains your life. If you want to continue nourishment by the word of God, we need to bind God's words in our heart. By how? By reading the scripture and by memorizing the scripture. And not only that, after you memorize, you need to meditate on the scripture. What it meant by that? How do I apply to my life? And after that, you got to obey the scripture. So you have to read it, memorize it, meditate on it, and obey it. If you don't obey, it doesn't matter how much knowledge you get by the Bible, it doesn't affect your life. The word gives life. The word is spirit. It gives you power to overcome life, to live a victorious life. But if you never believe in it, you don't follow it, and you don't obey it, what's good about it? It doesn't have any effect to your life. So you need to do all these in order to have God's power in your life to grow. So you need to read it, memorize it, meditate it, and obey the scripture. And doing so, then we bind the word into our hearts. Because our heart, our mind leads to action, and we must guard our heart with God's word continuously in order to live a victorious Christian life. Now, another solution is, how many of you do daily devotion, quiet time with God every day? Okay, if you don't, I'm telling you, I do it myself. Each morning is the best time. There are a lot of time when I'm writing a sermon, doing homework, all my inspiration is from the morning. I tried to do it at night, it didn't work. I was so tired after work or other stuff, and the last few minutes before you go to bed, you're so tired. So, but in the morning, you wake up, it's the best time. So that's why a lot of times the Bible, you see Jesus pray in the morning, Moses, everybody go up the mountain, and they do in the morning. Because you got a clear mind. You got a fresh energy. And all of a sudden, I read the Bible in the morning, the inspiration just come out. I fully understand it. You know, some other time, we discussed in the Bible study, nobody else, all of a sudden, that pops up. So morning is the best time to have a daily devotion with the Lord. First thing, before you eat breakfast, you completely just you know, brush your teeth, wash your face, and you sit down with the Lord. Okay, after you go to the bathroom, you clean yourself, and then go sit down with the Lord. You pray and tell God what you need and speak to him. Like he's your father, he's your heavenly father. You know, he's gladly listening to you. It's like sacrifice. When you talk to him, he enjoyed it. He enjoyed that relationship. You speak to him, just let him know all your worries, what you want that day. Ask God to bless you, to give you the strength, to give you the power to resist temptation, to live a victorious life. Whatever you need, just talk to God. And if you want your parents to believe in God, to become a Christian, pray that every day. And in the morning after you pray, you read the Word of God. You open the Bible. That's when God speaks to you. There are times that you don't know what to do. You have a doubt in your mind, and all of a sudden the Bible verse pops up right there. It's answered all your questions. It gave you faith, gave you power. Okay? It's a two-way street. You speak to God by prayer, and then you read the Word of God. And there's no other way. Reading the Bible is where you get the food from. Just like manners in the Old Testament, when people, the food from heaven, that's the true spiritual God. God's spiritual food. And in order to get continuous nourishment, like I mentioned, we need to bind God's word in our heart by reading it, memorizing, meditate, and obey it. Now the next verse, on the 22, chapter 6, verse 22, it says, when you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will speak to you. Now, first we look at it. When you walk, they will guide you. Why? Because when God's word in your heart, they will guide you wherever you go. When you're doing your everyday thing, you're going about, go to work, go to school, God's word in your heart, it will keep you from stumbling. And if you're at school, your friend tells you, hey, it's okay, let's smoke a joint or something, and there's marijuana everywhere, and they, hey, come on, you won't hurt. Now, if you have God's word in your heart, it will pop up right there and remind you, you know, not everything is good for you. If you cause somebody to stumble, if you don't want to be controlled by them. But once you take drugs, you're going to be controlled by the substance, and you might never able to come out. Drinking alcohol, the same thing. If your friend's saying, hey, it's a weekend, let's have a party, drink a couple of beer, nobody knows, come on, you know, smoke a cigarette, don't do it. Because the Bible says you can do all things, but don't let them control your life. You don't want them, you know, to be addicted. Anything that you might get addicted, you better not touch it. Another thing is, you know, it's going to affect your behavior. Those are called control substance. They're going to control your mind and your behavior. All right? The next thing you know, let's say when you are, normally you won't do something, but after you get drunk, you're going to do some really stupid thing. You know? That's why God's words can guide you when you need them. When you're walking about, just like Before you walk into the pit, it will tell you to stop and come back to God. When you sleep, they will watch over you. What does that mean? Now, I'll give you an example. A month ago, there were California has a lot of wildfire, right? Everybody know wildfire? And what if you're sleeping at night, and all of a sudden, you know how the fire starts? The wildfire is because the air is so dry, the humidity is so low that the wind blown something from the far, something, and the fire just starts by itself. Boom. What if you're sleeping at night and you have no idea whatsoever, and all of a sudden your house on fire? Compared to another person who is watching the news already, and he already packed up his stuff, and all of a sudden his house is on fire. Which one has more chance to survive? There's a no-brainer, right? The guy who is already awake and prepared. Likewise, when you sleep, here it says, the scripture, God's word will watch over you. Well, the Bible, in Psalm 121:4, it says, indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber or sleep. Our God is everywhere. He is almighty, right? So he's going to with you 24 hours around the clock. He ain't going to leave you. He will protect you. If you, you know, some people have nightmare, insomnia, because they cannot have peace in their mind. They have anxiety over little things, and they relying on sleeping pills. You know, but that's not healthy, okay? But by memorizing the scripture, you know, there was a saying, people said, if you can't go to sleep, don't count the sheep. Talk to the shepherd, right? Instead of you counting 1, 2, 3, you might as well talk to the shepherd. Just pray to God, pray to Jesus. Hey, dear Lord, I can't sleep. I'm worrying over this. You know, you promised me in your word that, you know, in Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. God's words. Why does it say guard your heart and the mind? Because everything flows from your heart. When you're scared, you're going to get hurt. When you have faith, you can do great things. When you have lust in your mind, you commit adultery. So everything comes from your mind, your heart. When God guards your heart and mind, you can do great things for him. Our flesh count nothing, but our spirit is important. When your spirit is moving, you're going to do great things for the Lord. You're going to have power to resist temptation. You're going to overcome sickness. You can do all things. So everything comes from your mind. And the word of God, the first thing is strengthened is your mind and your hearts. That's why right here in Philippians 4:6, it says, we'll guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. By memorizing the scripture. Without the scripture with me, I wouldn't be able to resist anything. I wouldn't be able to tell you how to guard your mind. That's the basic principle for a Christian to grow. You got to memorize the word of God. That's the power in your life. That's the food of your life. And how? By doing daily devotion with the Lord. You have a good relationship with the Lord. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, will teach you how to understand his word. You can't do it by your own effort. I've seen so many educated people, scientists, when I share the gospel with them, they couldn't believe. Why? Because their mind hasn't been opened by the Holy Spirit. They were thinking the logical way is, oh, I got a fully understanding about something before I come to God, before I believe in something. But God's wisdom, in turn, it's the other way around. The wisdom of God is, it's like foolishness for the world, but that's the highest wisdom. It looks like foolish, but it was highest wisdom. It's you have to believe, you have to put faith and step your foot into it. Then you will know it. Once you get the Holy Spirit in your life, you're going to understand everything. It's not by the power of your knowledge, but by the Spirit. Okay, so that's why God's Holy Spirit will protect you at nighttime. If there's nightmare, there's whatever demon, whatever, you don't have to worry, because God's indwelling Holy Spirit will protect you and give you power. When you are awake, you will speak to you. They will speak to you. When you constantly let the Word of God in your life to control you, you obey them. Whatever you do, when you wake up, the first thing you do, you read the Word of God, you meditate on God's Word repeatedly. You cannot just do it once. Let's say, oh, I have a plan. I want to grow. I want to be, you know, this year I want to become so-and-so, and I want to do this and serve God, but now I'm lack faith. God, help me. Okay? Then you need to do it every single day. Every time. You know how many times they pray back in the old days? At least 3 times a day, morning, lunch, and the evening. But when you look at the New Testament, they say you pray everywhere, anytime. There's no limit. Okay? God will be there to listen to you. Whenever you feel the need, you pray. You can pray in your mind. You don't have to close your eye. When you're driving, you feel like, hey, man, I'm so angry with this guy. All of a sudden, he just, you know, cut me off and gave me some bad signal or some, you know, bad hand signal. You feel so angry. You want to cut him off. You want to say something. Hey, you pray to God at that moment. Hey, Lord, please calm my heart. I know you love the people. I should forgive them just like you forgive me. Okay, pray. You don't have to close your eyes. You just pray anytime. When you're singing, you're sitting there, you're listening to the sermon. God, I don't understand what he's talking about. I hope not. And you can pray too. Pray, give me a heart to understand the word of yours so my life can be improved. Okay, so praying and reading the word of God and memorizing. Memorize them. Whatever words that affect your life in the morning, you feel like, oh, these words really affected me, really touches me, really helped me. You memorize it right away. You don't have to do it too much, like one verse a week. Even one verse a week or one verse a month. By the end of the year, you have 12 verses in your heart, in your mind, to pop up to protect you, to defend you, to guard you. Okay? So you got to do it. Doesn't matter how long, but I suggest one verse a week. If you do quiet time daily, you have 7 days in the morning. Just one word. It's not that hard. Well, next verse is, look at verse 27, Proverbs, 22nd. Parallel words, there were the parallel words, Proverbs. It says, for an adulterous woman is a deep pit, and wayward wife is a narrow well. Well, anyway, this is talking about temptation, lustful temptation. Okay, there was one time I had a brother in Christ who told me every time when he get off work, he had to walk through a street full of, it was a red light district, basically. He lived around there, and he had to walk through the whole block full of neon sign with, you know, lustful stuff, dirty stuff. And he often find that very challenging, very conflicts in his mind, you know, and his lustful thing, he look at something that he shouldn't look at. So he asked me, what should I do? I said, I live there. I said, well, you're not living exactly right in that block, right? He said, no, it was behind there. Well, next time, you just walk the other way around. You don't have to walk through there all the time. You can avoid it. Why? Because the Bible said, again, remind me, you know, flee from your youthful lust. Okay, the Bible says that. And and after that, you know, he of course, he listened to my advice, and he just took a bus and stopped somewhere a whole block away, whatever, walked the other way around. And he got home without any struggle. So he had victory over that struggle by the word of God. Okay? And on a verse 23rd here, for these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light, and the corrections of discipline are the way of life. Well, first of all, on the Psalm, they talk about your word. God's word is the lamp of my feet, a light on my path. When you walk on a street that has no light, you will easily trip over because you cannot see the path clearly. And God's word is the lamp, because he lit up your path so you won't stumble. And Jesus is the word. The Bible says Jesus is the word, and he is the light of the world. So he lit up every single one of us. There's no more dark place. When you believe in God, when you accept Jesus in your heart, basically you should have no dark area in your life. If you're willing to obey God, and that's where all the blessings are going to come in. Okay? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. Jesus told them his words are full of spirit. Well, that means if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you need to be filled with the word, you need to be filled with the word of God. Because Jesus said, my word gives life. The word that I spoke to you, they are full of spirit and life. So in other words, if you want to be, you know, a lot of time we say, oh, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to empower myself to live a victorious life. How did I do that, God? You just pray to God and you start reading the word of God, memorizing them, apply that to your life. Then you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're filled with the word of God. Word of God is the power. In the Gospel of John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. Okay? But of course, Jesus is the Word who came to become a man who saved us from our sin. And now we have the Bible. In the old days, you have to, you know, you might complain, oh, I didn't have a word. I didn't see the prophet. But now you have the Word right in your hand. Okay? You can read it. And that's the blessing, actually. We don't have to wait for a prophet. Everything God wants you to do is already laying down clear. It's whether or not you want to use it. You want to take it as a treasure. It's like a treasure to me. I told somebody once, and if I, today I live in an island, you know, my shipwreck, and I'm being dripped into an island, I can survive as long as I have a Bible. I will live happily there by myself. Why? Because the Bible, the Word of God, is the power. But what if you don't have a Bible? You memorize them in your mind. You don't carry the Bible at work. You don't everywhere. So you memorize in your heart. Nobody can take it away. That's your Bible. The more you memorize, the better it is. Let's say you're young. You still have 40 years to memorize. Might as well do it now. Otherwise, you got no power. The next verse, the correction. Let's look at verse 23, Proverbs 6:23. The corrections of discipline are the way of life. Now, what makes a person learn to improve is by their humility. They're willing to humble themselves. They're willing to listen. They're willing to ask for help. And I'm so happy today that each and every one of us already went through that, because when you're willing to accept the Lord into your heart, you ask for forgiveness. You already humble yourself. And that's where the blessing can flow into your life. Here it says, the correction and discipline are the way of life. What is the way of life? Your willingness to accept corrections and discipline. Discipline yourself. Self-control. If you want to watch TV and it's time to sleep, go to sleep. So The victory is not by, the true freedom is not You know, you can do whatever you want, but you have power to control your life, to do whatever your spirit wants. Whatever you think is right, you have the power to overcome the temptation. You have the power to overcome your physical needs. The TV was telling you, oh, this is a good program. Let's watch it. You know, I can do homework later. I could go to bed a few hours later. And the next day, what happened? You're going to suffer the consequence. You don't have energy to go to school. You're going to be late. Oh, you feel bad. You didn't finish your homework. You did bad, done bad on your test. So there's consequences. But if you have the power to control your life, you're going to live it like a victorious person. You feel great, like a champion. Every day, things were coming your way. You have power to resist any temptation. Okay, that's by the word of God and your willingness to obey God's word, to receive, to accept the discipline and correction from others. If you made a mistake, your parents are going to come to you, hey, man, how come you done that? The next time you don't do it. That's how the way you learn. Negative reinforcement and the positive reinforcement, they both are very important. A lot of people might teach you wrong some stuff like, oh, you don't hurt the kids' feeling. Oh, you always say good things. No, you're going to spoil it because the kids have no direction. Their brain is not developed. You tell them you can do all things, anything you want. Oh, we don't want to hurt the feeling. That's wrong. When somebody's doing something wrong, you tell them out of love, this is wrong. Why? It's bad for you. You explain. You teach them. So, and as your kid, our responsibility of any person is to receive correction and discipline. And that's the way of life. I remember when I was young, my dad was very strict. Okay, he was in the military. He's very disciplined. He would be on time, wake up right that time, do everything, and he expect us to do the same, okay, when I was a kid. But good thing is I was the youngest, so I was spared from a lot of spanking. But I saw, you know, a lot of spanking my older brother, my older sister. But one time he hit my hand. What happened was every dinner time, you know, we have to wait till everybody, we have to have manner, wait till everybody's ready, sit down, especially our father and mother sit down before we start eating. And I was so hungry. I saw, wow, that big piece of roast pork is right in front of my face, crispy skin. I said, oh, nobody looking. I was ready. I just trying to get it. As soon as I stick out my hands, my dad hit me with the chopsticks. Don't you ever do that again. I told you already, you don't follow my rule. Now, at that moment, I was kind of mad because, you know, I'm so hungry. What's bad about it? You got a whole plate of food. I just take one. But the thing is the principle, okay? You're obedient. If he didn't tell me beforehand, then, you know, it's not my fault. But he already told me so many times, and I chose to do it. That's my fault. So at home, we all have rules, and we should follow the rules. God set up the rule. You know, nowadays when you share the gospel, people say, hey, how come God is so cruel? He killed everybody. If you've done wrong, they're going to punish you. Well, God already told you the rule, and we just committed it, right? Let me tell you a quick story. There was a young man, you know, he was about to graduate from college. And for many, many months, he admired a beautiful sports car in a showroom, in a dealer showroom. And he, you know, and his father was kind of well off and he could well afford it. And he told his dad, this is all he wants. And he studied really hard, get an honor degree and graduate from college. And you know what? At graduation day, the young man was waiting for his father to purchase the car. And finally that morning come, and the father called him into his private study room. So he came in, and the father said, hey, I'm proud of you. You're a good son. You're such a fine son. And I really loved you. And then he handed him a beautifully wrapped gift box. So the son was curious and somewhat disappointed. He was expecting a car. How come you gave me a little box? And the young man opened the box and he found a lovely leather-bound Bible with his name embossed in gold. But you know what? Of course, he was angry. He raised his voice to his father and said, hey, with all that money you got, you give me a Bible? So he stormed out of the room and he leaving the Bible there and never seeing his father again. And many years passed, this young man was very successful in business and he had a beautiful home, a wonderful family, and he realized his father is old. He wanted to go back and see him. And he hadn't seen him since the graduation day. Before he could make an arrangement, he received a letter telling him that his father had passed away and that his father had willed everything, all the possession to his son. So he needs to come back and immediately and take care of the things. So when he arrived at his father's house, sadness, he just filled with sadness and regret. And he began to look around, searching for the paper and stuff. And you know what? He found the Bible that his dad gave him when he was graduated that day. Exactly brand new, sitting right there in the drawer. And he opened it, he looked at it. Guess what happened? There's the sports car's key was on the back of that with the date and the dealer's name and it says and the receipt paid in full. None of us like to be disciplined, and some of us don't like to follow the command. Like, okay, based on this story, it shows how much the father loves his child, okay? This is how much our parents love us. They give us rules to follow and discipline us for our own good sometimes. And so we don't have to go through failure. No one likes to be disciplined, and some of us, like, we don't like to follow command. Like when I was young, I didn't follow the command. And how many times have we missed the true blessings from, you know, hidden behind the discipline? Just because we're judging the book by its cover. In 2 Timothy, is that all scripture are God-breath and useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting, training in righteousness? So now I ask you, what is the way of life? The way of life is to seek wisdom through obedience. Obey our parents, obey God. And we should obey our parents, follow their commands. We should put God first in our life and study his word daily, memorizing scriptures and obey all the commands. That's the way of life. We must be coachable. And we must accept discipline. And that's the way of life. Now at the end, I have a basic family rules. Now, if you need one, I think on your discussion, I already gave it to your teacher, and you should have one. It talks about, I'm very, very quick, and, maybe we don't have enough time, and it talks about some basic rules in our family we should do is to love Jesus, to read your Bible, to do things right, follow the scripture, and go to church. It's not an option. You never say if, you know, unless you're physically incapable, you're totally sick. You got to love one another, love people. When you do things, number six, you have to have a plan. You know, work out your plan. Let's say you want to start your daily devotion. You have to have a plan and follow the plan. You speak kindly to people. Be a blessing. Keep your promise. Be respectful. You have manner. When you speak to people, my dad always taught me, hey, look up in the eye, contact, and smile, and say hi, okay? Especially the elderly people, anybody older than you, you have to respect. So it become a habit now. When I see somebody, hi, how are you doing? I shook their hand. It's a manner. It's a good manner, you know. Listen to your parents and listen to the Bible. Be respectful, have manner, obey your parents. This is very important, okay? In order to grow, to learn, and smile. Smile is God's love in action. Tell others about Christ, sharing the gospel. Okay, I hope that we all encourage from today's message. And we can discuss some more later on if you have questions. So let's bow and pray.